You know exactly what that is.
Eh.
Come on, dork, sing it. I want to hear it.
Eh, don't feel like it.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, August 10th, 2017. I'm Eric, he's Tristan, and we've got Kyle, Mike, and Leo along for the ride as well. We're going to try to preview the weekend best we can. Tristan, are you excited for the weekend? Are you working for the weekend? Who sung that? That was a song, right? I think I remember that.
I guess it was.
You know exactly what that is.
Eh.
Come on, dork, sing it. I want to hear it.
Eh, don't feel like it.
Don't feel like it. Not in the
well,
mood
it's National Lazy Day tomorrow. I need to get in the mood here, all right?
National
Lazy
Day.
What do I want to sing
day,
for?
National
that's like
Lazy
I'm.
Day?
That's like I got to work for this or something. Come on.
I think I'm feeling a little lazy today. All right. Let's. Here's another word with Z. Buzz. All right. I think the biggest story coming out of last night is not the trade, but Wilson Contreras getting hurt. He's the starting catcher for the Cubs and arguably maybe the best catcher in fantasy baseball. This was, what, a hamstring injury? So
oblique. Was it oblique?
Or hammy?
Right. It was a leg thing of some type.
Well, it kind of matters what that leg thing is. He's expected to hit the disabled list today. It is a hamstring.
Hammy.
And that generally is more than 10 days. So let me ask you, if we find out Contreras is out 3 to 4 weeks, do you cut him in an ESPN standard?
No, because we said no, don't cut Salvador Perez. Same kind of story.
Well, yes, I guess. I don't need to
Is there anything left at this position? I mean, that's the greater question here. I think that keeping guys like Contreras or Perez in an ESPN standard is there anything left? I mean, if you cut him, then somebody else who might have that open DL spot is going to pick him up, put him in that DL spot, and then have a good catcher in September, and you will be piecing it together the rest, and in a head-to-head league especially? You want to do that in the playoffs? I don't.
It sounds like, and I'm not sure for here, but it sounds like you're more worried about what he can do against you than what he can do for you in the final 4 weeks. Do you ever worry about that? Does it matter to you? Say you finish second in a league, okay, that you've been winning all season long and you've never won and you finish second in half the time, and you give away a player who ends up beating you for another team. Is that worse than if you just lose?
It depends on how that happened. If you cut a guy, he was immediately picked up and used against you to beat you, you probably made a mistake.
Contreras is by far the best catcher in ESPN Fantasy on the player radar over the past 30 days. The next guys are Yachty and Posey. But Wellington Castillo is number 4. He's readily available. I don't want Hector Sanchez. The number 7 and 8 guys are Hector Sanchez and Caleb Joseph, and then James McCann and Kurt Suzuki. So, yes, I think you're right. There's not a lot of depth at catcher right now. Keep Contreras. And go get Alex Avila.
Right.
You know?
Now, I want to raise the question on Alex Avila's performance recently.
How can you possibly gauge his performance when he hasn't been a regular player?
Well, he wasn't hitting before the trade either when he was playing a little bit more, and he did sit in this sort of an almost even share, and at one point was getting 60% of the playing time over James McCann in Detroit. Do we really assume that just because he plays regularly he's going to rebound? I like the guy as an ad. It's just I don't think there's any promises here. I'm not going to add him and let Contreras go.
No, I wouldn't do that either. Jay Bruce was traded to Cleveland last night. Mets fans rejoice, I think. This shouldn't matter all that much, right? I mean, I don't see anybody really affected here. This is a proven slugger with myriad 30 home run seasons. He's going to have another. In fact, he might end up with 40, which would be a career high. He goes to Cleveland. He takes probably Michael Brantley's spot in the lineup. When Brantley comes back and whenever he comes back, then Lonnie Chisholm will probably sit, so they'll figure something out here. But Jay Bruce is no more or less valuable to me today. The Mets, unless they bring up Dominic Smith, nothing changes there. So this is kind of like a quiet trade.
It probably means a few more at-bats for the current Mets outfielders, the guys who are remaining. It probably hurts Bruce's value a little bit because the Indians have more players to maybe sit him on occasion.
Why would they do that? He's batting third or fourth.
Because they're notorious for playing the righty-lefty game. And maybe that's good with Jay Bruce, but it just means a few less counting numbers. It's a minimal difference. I think the biggest takeaway from this is that Michael Brantley's owners have to be groaning.
Why? Does this imply that he's going to be out for a long time?
I think so. I think it implies that it's a little bit more of a concern than just the 10-day stint. I think this is going to be, like Contreras, it could be several weeks. We don't know that yet, but I worry that this signals it's like a month absence instead of a week or two.
So what do you do with Brantley? I mean, do you just drop him? It's not like he's having a great season. I mean, he doesn't hurt you in batting average, but not a lot of power or speed. So is Michael Brantley, I mean, I could give you some names here. It's not like catcher. There's outfielders out there available. So are you more likely here to cut him out?
I'd say yes, because it's probably you have one of the better DL options. I mean, the first guy that comes to mind is Carlos Correa on the hitting side. If you have him, obviously he's staying on your team ahead of Michael Brantley. Otherwise, I would say he's probably going to end up in that back end of DL. If we rank the DL players, he's going to probably rank somewhere between 7 and 12.
All right, let me see who's available in the outfield that's been doing well over the past month. Like Rajai Davis for the Steels. Tommy Pham, I think, is owned in a lot of leagues at this point. Whit Merrifield is too. Souza, I suppose, but he's owned. Gerardo Parra's available and still hitting. So Gerardo Parra's out there in half of leagues. Ben Revere, who was stealing a base per day until Cam Maven came back, and now he's not playing at all. I love when managers do that. You've got a guy who's been playing well and, you know, maybe playing a little over his head, and then you just stop playing him overall. I mean, they could play him if they wanted to. I just love stuff like that.
How about Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, I mean, that's a power guy. If you own Brantley all year, I mean, you probably need certain things. You might need power. You might need speed because he hasn't been providing either. So I guess check your needs and see what it is that you could use here. I mean, trade deadlines are over for most leagues, so you can't really get it that way. I mean, you're looking for playing time more than anything else. Anything else happened here last night or I guess in previous days that you would like to discuss? Let me see who's on the player radar for the past week and see if there's anything we can learn here. I mean, Brian Dozier's owned in every league, Benintendi. These are the guys on the player radar for the past 7 days that have done really well. Whit Merrifield, by this point, is owned pretty much in every league. Tim Beckham, I assume, at this point. He's at 44%.
I'm amazed we haven't gotten a one name in those past 7 to 15 days.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about. I mean,
Joey Gallo.
He's number 15. So he's homered each of the last three games. He's up to 32 homers, 61 ribs, .212 batting average. But, man, I mean, some teams just can't take that batting average anchor, right? I mean, I have a team like that. I just can't afford it.
Well, you certainly could have afforded it since the All-Star break because his batting average has been plenty productive during that time, despite the fact he's still whiffing more often than once every three
trips
to the plate.
Doesn't that tell you that he's not going to bat 300 much longer?
It tells you that this is welcome to Joey Gallo and any other player like this. The streaky players are going to be incredibly good during the hot streaks, and they're going to drive you absolutely insane during their slumps. And he's going to have another one of those slumps at some point.
Are you implying that in this new era of baseball where everybody's homering and striking out that Joey Gallo is better or worse than you would have looked at a year ago? Like, is this a guy you actually would try to get on your teams?
Yes, I would say he's better because I had serious doubts as to whether he could make consistent enough contact to make this work. I think he has established that he's a capable, maybe not one of the front guys in terms of the home run crown candidates for next year, but I think he's got to be in maybe the top dozen, the discussion for the top dozen. I don't think there's much else he's going to provide you. You've got to be in a non-batting average league before Gallo's a big, exciting player.
Most people are in a yes batting average league. So
I would disagree with that. I think there's a significant number who are not.
Really?
Yeah, I think the points leagues, I think the on-base percentage angled leagues these days, there are more of them. I'll bet it's more than a third.
Oh, I don't think that. I think 90% of people are in a league that counts batting average. So if a guy bats, and you know maybe he settles in a .220, but like Chris Davis of the Orioles gets owned. He was a top 50 player in drafts. Is Gallo at that point? If Gallo ends up with 45 home runs, we can't just ignore that because of the batting average.
I think Chris Davis is a pretty fair comp. I think they could be similar players. I do wonder whether Gallo's contact ability, the raw contact ability, is going to be quite what Chris Davis has been during his prime.
Who's
but
hungry?
Close.
All right, I'm hungry. Combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
Best I can tell, three of them in the past three nights, Brian Dozier, Odubel Herrera, and Buster Posey, and two of those guys are owned in every league. Herrera's not. Now, we've talked about the Phillies outfielder the outfield overall on recent shows. Altair's on the DL probably for the rest of the month. I really think Rhys Hoskins is getting called up today or tomorrow to play left field, which is ridiculous because the team said, you know, a month ago and all season long he would never play a position other than first base, and then all of a sudden he is. So two parts here. Do you want to own a guy like Herrera who is so streaky? His bad is really bad. His good is really good. And second question, what is this stash Hoskins right now?
I would say if the league is deep enough to justify it, which means not the ESPN standard with three bench spots, yes, stash Hoskins. Herrera, 12-game hitting streak since the All-Star break, 386, 449, 739. You're right that the goods are very good and the bads are very bad, but I think that the full package gets him on the list of fifth outfielders, even in the standard ESPN. I think that means he's got to be owned everywhere and does warrant some patience.
Not a base stealer. Like, he is not a 20-steal guy. He doesn't have, like... doesn't have the feel for it. Like, he's fast enough to do it, but like, he's like a 10 to 12 steal guy right now.
So he's like light Michael Brantley.
Yeah, I guess I could see some, like, he's not a 20 homer guy and he's not a 15 steal guy, but he should hit for average on a general sense.
I feel like Brantley's a 3 in a 10 team league. I think that Herrera's more like a 5. That's the main reason that name came to mind.
I think Herrera's more like Brantley than if he's a top 30.
I don't think he'll hit for the average Brantley does.
Probably
that's
not
the big difference.
And then we'll see who has combo meals for the next four nights. Let's get to a quick closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Are you worried about Greg Holland? And who's next?
When he shaves every hair on his head from what rumors I read were, yeah, I'm a little concerned, aren't you?
Do you think it's injury or fatigue or just a couple bad days? I mean, I watched both of those ninth innings. One was against the Phillies where they just battered him. And in the Indians one, they didn't. I mean, that Indians one, he should have had the third out on a strikeout. Guy hits a little blooper and then the home run. But, like, he didn't get lit up here, okay?
He didn't, but the location wasn't especially sharp.
It was a blooper, Tristan. It was a blooper in front of Charlie Blackmon.
The results,
easily could have been caught.
The result's not my point. The location was not sharp in this game. I watched that as well. It was just not sharp. He had a couple pitches up that missed their targets, and that worries me a bit.
And not that it matters. If you own him, you can't trade him at this point, and you're not going to drop him, and nor should you. You just should have been like, he's going to end up with numbers more indicative, I think, of like an average closer and not a top five guy eventually. He's going to give up some runs. I mean, you have to in that ballpark. And we know that Colorado pitchers get tired before September. That's one of the things that nobody ever talks about. It's not just, you know, performance on a day-to-day basis. It's that they run out of gas before other people, other players do, because it's harder to compete in that environment.
I've made the case many times that I think people don't talk enough about the difference in dealing with the atmosphere in Colorado versus the road. It came up with Corey Dickerson, Eric, you and I during last year in the preseason. And I wonder, you're right. I think this could have something to do with it. But, you know, I mean, hey, at least they still got Tyler Chatwood. I hear, you know, he got a save. This kind of
better be right. He definitely got a save.
Hey, Rick Porcello had a quality start, too.
Yeah, that's what he always does. But the back-to-back homers blew a good, real good outing for him.
That's what he always does. He's having a terrible season. You can't jump from side to side whenever you feel like on Porcello. I mean, you hate Rick Porcello. If he walked in and did a car wash today, you'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to talk to him.
No, I would go home.
But Chatwood is the new Rockies closer, is totally winning that board
bet
now.
He's not the closer.
I will say this,
if Holland is hurt and needs a DL stint, that's totally possible. I think Jake McGee is next. I don't think it's Ottavino, and I don't think it's Neshek.
I've watched a lot of Ottavino. I have him in El Tout. Yeah, he's been one of their better relievers in the past month, but I feel like there isn't that consistency with him. I have, looking at their performance lately, I have no idea who it would be. That's why Chatwood was out there.
Most saves for the Giants rest of the season, Melanson or Dyson?
I think it's Melanson.
I think it's like 10-0, Melanson. Most saves rest of the season for Cleveland, Cody Allen or Andrew Miller?
You know, Terry Francona's comments on Miller's the length of the DL stint were kind of cryptic. I think it's Allen.
I think it is too, but if he blows one more game and Miller returns next week, they could just switch them.
But will he return next week? If he did, I'm with you. It's just...
Most saves rest of the season. Mets, Ramos or Familia?
I think it's Ramos.
I think their manager is so not smart that he would just put Familia back in the role right away. Or play him in the outfield over Conforto. I can't decide. But
He could.
And I think next year Ramos could just win the job. But
I think Ramos is the setup man next year. I don't think that's
I think they want him to be. I think he might be better than the closer. Most saves rest of the year. San Diego. Hand gets the most. Who's the right-hander you want to own there? Caps or Yates?
I want to own Caps because of what he did before this year when healthy. You got to
speculate. One half season, Tristan. We've been like making this out to be it was. It was tremendous. Carter Caps has gotten more talk about among relief pitchers than like anyone else who is less accomplished.
But you can hear my hesitation.
He had a half a season.
You can hear my hesitation though when I say it.
I'm taking Yates. Carter Caps.
But
Yates doesn't
have anywhere near the talent that Caps does when healthy. And if Caps is healthy today and he proves that over the next week or so, what right do we have to just assume he's getting hurt tomorrow? I mean, we've had this debate all year.
Based on his history, we have every right to believe Carter Caps is getting hurt tomorrow.
See, then you're picking and choosing who you want to criticize for their injury history. You and I have debated a lot of guys who have had a major injury. Okay, so Giancarlo Stanton, what's he today?
That's different. He's had five.
How's it different?
Are you comparing the histories for Carter Capps and Giancarlo Stanton?
No, they're not identical, but they are both significant. And
they
are, but
you can't possibly quantify them being the same.
How many games does Stanton miss the rest of the year?
10.
Okay,
he's missed
two
all year. I'll say he still misses 10. They're out of the race. You know, if the hamstring hurts on September 20th, why play him? That's different. Carter Capps has had two major elbow surgeries, and they have other options in their bullpen, and it's not financial reasons that they have to play him. I'm just saying, like, everybody's been stashing Carter Capps for 3 years now, waiting for the saves to come. He has nary a save in his career. He's gotten a lot of talk about him.
If you're picking 10 as the number, if you had thrown two, I would say, why are you giving one guy a free pass and not the other? I mean,
We both wrote about Stanton the other day, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe we said the same things. The biggest surprise to me is not the performance. It's the health.
Yeah.
Now, next year, we're going to have to rank him in round two. Now, I'm not going to feel good about that, and I'm not going to want to get him. And people called me out on Twitter and said, oh, he was on your don't touch list or whatever I call it back in March, do not draft list. And yeah, he was. I was not going anywhere near Giancarlo Stanton. I was even comparing him to Tulowitzki, which in retrospect is totally ridiculous. Tulowitzki is far worse. But we can't just forget Stanton's entire history of brittleness just because he stayed healthy this year, can we? We can't.
We can't. And, you know, everybody throws that phrase, injuries are the great equalizer in fantasy baseball. It works in inverse, too.
So are you taking Stanton in round two next year?
I think he's got to get ranked there. I don't feel good about it.
That's exactly what I said.
Probably going to have to be nitpicky about exactly where I place him because I don't believe in putting a guy in my ranking somewhere where I'm just not going to draft him. I don't feel right.
But you have
that.
To. You're going to look ridiculous if you put him in round six.
I don't care if I look ridiculous. I want to put the player where I think he's drafted. I put Mookie Betts in the first round just like you did that year, and I remember being called out. It's like, that's not what you do. You usually go with the projection. I felt really good about the player. If you feel really good about somebody, go with it.
That's different.
How's that different?
You can overrank a guy you really like, okay, and you can justify it. But you can't justify putting Giancarlo Stanton at number 20 and saying, I would take him in the sixth round. That's different. If you really believe that Stanton is, you wouldn't take him. It's like the quarterbacks. I dump the quarterbacks into round four or five. I'm still not even taking Drew Brees there. It's the same type of thing. It's not, I don't care about looking ridiculous either. Lord knows we have in the past. But if you really think Giancarlo Stanton is a top 20 player again in fantasy baseball.
I'm glad you brought quarterbacks into it because I will draft mine where I put them, and I am meticulous about where I place them. That's the exact point to get to, is that I'm not afraid of putting my guys lower than they look like they should be out there from a consensus, you know, all over the world ranking. I feel like I'm going to put them where I'm going to take them in a draft. Stanton might not belong in the second round. He might not.
Let's preview the weekend with the little time we have left here. What does this say? What's happening? What are the Rochester plates, Kyle? Please tell.
We went over this a month or two ago. The garbage plates. Today, 7:05, Frontier Field, Rochester, New York.
Are you going?
It's only 6 hours away. If I leave now, I might be able to make it.
So
might?
What are you
waiting for? The traffic's that bad up there?
No, it's not that bad. But
leave after the show and go watch it if you really are into it.
Well, and then, you know, I've got a 7 o'clock a.m. pre-show for tomorrow's podcast.
There's a lot of whining going on. No big deal, man.
I hear there's a marathon coming. You got to get ready.
Yeah.
Is there?
That's right.
I haven't heard. I didn't get the memo.
Sleep, who needs it? Who needs sleep? You're never going to get it.
If I'm a part, I'm still getting sleep. I'm just telling you, I got sleep last year. I applaud Matthew for staying awake for whatever, 30 straight hours. It's just not healthy.
28.
Well, it's not healthy. And, you know, he ain't young. Right? Neither am I. So, like, just saying, it's not... Do what you got to do, but I found a nap in my car last year. I went back to the hotel. I think I slept in the studio. I don't know. What am I talking about? Let's talk about the games that are important. Pitchers for today. Let's just start right there. James Paxton looks awesome. He's not going to win the Cy Young. Corey Kluber or Chris Sale. Let me ask you this. Next year, we're going to have two consecutive years where Clayton Kershaw has missed roughly a third of the season, Tristan. I think you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
What's your top four starting pitchers? Because right now I can only think of four belong. Order your top four.
That belong.
Well, you tell me if it's more. But like right now, I only see four guys who belong in that top tier of starting pitchers: Sale and Kluber, who are unbelievable with their strikeouts; Scherzer, who's probably he's awesome in the National League; and Kershaw, who most people will just put number one because they have to, but they don't have to. That's two consecutive years where he's been hurt, seriously hurt, not like Kluber. So rank the top four for next year.
We're discounting Bumgarner. We're discounting Darvish.
Yes, and I think we need to. A, we don't know what team Darvish will be on. B, I think with Bumgarner, I'm not going to assume another injury. I assume he's not riding dirt bikes anymore. But, yeah, I don't think he belongs in this tier. The strikeout rate's not there.
I think other than this year, the consistency year over year, the durability had been something that I think puts him up in this group.
Maybe he's number five, but
yeah,
he's not in the top four.
Right. That's the tough part is
I want you to say Kershaw's not number one.
But I don't want to do it. You see, I need to see how the year plays out because I need to see whether the Kershaw who was, the Kershaw we saw pre-injury returns again just like last year. Mm. If that is the case, I will take the 25-start pitcher, number one. Otherwise, it's going to be Scherzer.
It's irrelevant to me what he does the final 4 weeks.
Totally relevant. How is it irrelevant?
Because you can't just pick and choose when you want track record to matter.
If he comes back diminished after this injury, that will be the first time we've seen that from him.
He's
going
to come back
you?
And they're going to like piddle him back on the DL because they have a 15-game lead. They don't need to push him too much. So you're going to take Kershaw as the number one starter next year. Okay.
If he looks every bit as sharp when he comes back, and I expect he will come back, then why would we doubt him?
Rank the next three then.
Scherzer.
Kyle, you're next.
Sale. Kluber. Bumgarner, Darvish.
You're going safe. Okay, you're basically safe across the board. Because you should say Kershaw shouldn't be number one.
How is that going safe? That's going completely not safe.
Because you're basically going off of track record only. And yes, he could end up the number one starting pitcher this year, even missing a third of the season, just like last year when he was awesome.
I'm putting the biggest injury risk number one, and that's my safe ranking? That doesn't make sense.
I think that's like saying none of this matters.
Like, I think it matters, but weren't we right here with this debate 1 year ago?
Yeah, but now it's 2 years. I mean, how many years is he going to get hurt before? And this is a back injury. This is not like he twisted his ankle. This is something that could haunt him the rest of his career. And discounting it as not mattering at all.
The year's got to play out. I think there's an excellent chance he could be the sixth name on this list, maybe even lower than that if there's some sort of major regression in September.
Kyle, would you still take Kershaw number one among the starters?
No, I'm Team Sale. Give me Sale. He's averaging 30 starts over the last 5 years. I'm kind of buying what you're saying a little bit, at least about the risk. Like, it's not that he will get hurt, but the fact that we've seen him get hurt and that he may. So I'm going Sale number one, Kershaw, Scherzer, Kluber.
I'm going Scherzer one, Sale two, Kershaw three. And you know what? You can't tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
Because if he misses time again next year, he's the only one that has an injury that I think can haunt him. We haven't done any weekend preview in the first episode.
Would you have even debated that any of those four are all that far off in terms of value? That's the other question.
I don't think we would have looked at Kluber that way 6 weeks ago, but this dominant, I mean, he's going to win. I think he's going to take the Cy Young from Sale. I really do.
He's got a little work to do, but you're right.
He's 30 innings behind, but like if the trend continues,
yeah,
I think he's going to take it. I love Kershaw, and I've loved owning him over the years, but there's risk here that the other three just don't possess.
Eric, I know what I want to ask you, too. Would you take one of them?
Probably not.
It's going to be more important next year than it ever was to take one of those.
I got to say this, though. I think Scherzer and Sale will be in my first round.
And you won't take them there, so why are you ranking them there?
Because I understand their value. Just because I wouldn't take them there, that doesn't need to jive with my rankings to me.
Okay, but I would you not agree that it's more
important?
Now?
I might take them there. I might now. Because they are just so unbelievably better this tier than everybody else. And that's why I would do it. You can't put Darvish there. His ERA was 4 until last week.
If Darvish ends up in the same situation he is today,
he stays
next
in LA,
year,
he's probably an IM number 5. I'd probably take him over Bumgarner.
Right, and that's the other, is that I think he's going to get a nice bump in innings. I think coming off last year and the year before that, I think he could add a little bit to the workload.
I apologize for the weekend preview, but it's going to be a little bit shorter now. Indians and Rays, it's kind of interesting to me because the Rays are kind of falling out of this. And based on the Odorizzi injury from yesterday, that could mean Brent Honeywell comes up. I don't know why Blake Snell is still in the rotation. I mean, they're trying to win, and Snell just can't go 6 innings. Salazar should win that game. But Faria, kind of interesting to me at this point. Clevinger is interesting to me at this point because they're still available in leagues. What can you say about those two guys that would make me definitely use them this weekend?
Well, Salazar is one I'm definitely using because of the Ks. Tampa does have a fair number of them in their lineup. I'm worried always about the righties facing this team, so Clevinger scares me a little bit just based on you and I talked about the fly ball rate. At least it's in Tampa. That's a much better situation for him, so I might stream him. He's facing Archer. Oh, jeez, that's a tough one. Rays are a game back. I'm with you, Eric. I don't understand why Blake Snell's in this rotation. They can't
like,
be giving
why is that
away
not
games.
Honeywell?
I don't know. I really don't know.
And look, he could fail, too. A lot of these rookies fail, even in small samples. But, man, I'd like to see him.
You got to get your premium guys in right now. You're one game out of the wild card race. These are critical games to win. You need to take as many as you can against Cleveland, a playoff team. Yeah,
how about
I'm
those
you.
Mariners? Edwin Diaz has, like, 10 saves this month already. It's every day is a save.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the number one closer over the past 15 days, and like in June, he had lost the job. Trevor Rosenthal started the season. He might be in the rotation. He's the number one closer over the past 30 days. It's amazing how this stuff works. My labor closers are Trevor Rosenthal and Corey Knable. I knew it, and I told you that in March. They were both going to end up as closers, didn't I?
You did.
You probably forgot, but
no,
I said
I absolutely
that.
Remember that. You did say that. And I remember I was saying I liked Rosenthal because I thought he'd start. So we know how that played
both
out.
Both only cost me a dollar. Red Sox, Yankees, which lefty do you use, Eduardo Rodriguez or Jaime Garcia?
I would use Eduardo Rodriguez, but Eric, you wrote this too about Aaron Hicks' return this week.
Read something I wrote? Are you an insider?
It was posted on
Tristan?
Time. Oh, yeah.
Are you an insider? Tell the truth.
I don't know. Sources say that there's a possibility of that, but I can neither confirm nor deny. if Hicks comes back, it does give the Yankees a little bit more of a bump here because they do have some problems against left-handed pitchers, but I still take Eduardo. I don't think there's enough in this lineup right
Tell
now.
Tell me about the Yankees. What do you think happens here? Aaron Hicks was really, really good before the injury. Do you think he plays every day? Does Ellsbury sit? Does Clint Frazier go back to the minors? And also first base, give me your thoughts there on what happens with Bird.
I worry a bit that Clint Frazier is destined for the DL. I think that the way they're talking and showing Aaron Hicks clips on TV, it suggests to me that they think Frazier's going to the DL. You're right, he could go to the minors. That's a possibility as well. But I think Hicks goes right back to the fourth outfielder role, spells Jacoby Ellsbury probably most often, gets some of the starts against lefties maybe for Brett Gardner. First base, I'm not as with you on Greg Bird. I know you talked about him that in a month he could matter, and it is entirely possible, but this injury lingered for so long. I don't know. I worry about Greg Bird.
Breaking news, the Phillies have called up Rhys Hoskins, so let me ask you, he's already the number two at most added first baseman. Would you dump Yuli Gurriel to get him?
Because it'll probably fit needs, yeah.
What do you mean it'll fit needs? Because he'll be
more power.
Eligible.
There's no doubt he has more power than Yuli Gurriel.
He's an untested rookie in the majors, and you would drop Yuli Gurriel? I would not.
Needs.
Would you drop?
Yuli Gurriel is replaceable in standard.
Oh, my God.
You don't think?
Different lineups, dude. I watched that one. They don't score much. Houston scores 6 runs, 7 nights and runs a night. Trey Mancini or Hoskins?
I'm tempted to say Mancini there.
Jeez, I would take Gurriel over Mancini. Okay.
See, what do you like about Gurriel?
What do I like? I like that he hits cleanup for the best offense in the majors, and he's batting 300. That's what I like.
Right now he does.
Well, do you think that's going to change?
When they get their healthy bats back.
All right.
I'm not a big Gurriel guy. Just not a lot of pop.
Hoskins versus, I think it's fair based on the past month. Logan Morrison, really? You like Hoskins that much?
Yeah, I mean, that's pushing a little bit. It might just, you might be unearthing my pessimism about Yuli Gurriel.
All right. So Hoskins versus, Logan Morrison.
Morrison has struggled lately, but still feel like Morrison.
I would keep Morrison. What about versus Kendrys Morales?
Morales.
Okay. So what about versus Ryan Healy, lefty killer?
Yeah, you know, you stole Healy for me today. I love that price. Oh, boy, it gets way
He's going to have to get up a little bit earlier to beat me on building blocks, I think.
None of us are going to beat Kyle. He's the man on that. I'd take Healy. Streakiness, but I like what I've seen from Healy this year.
Healy over Gurriel, all right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Healy over Gurriel, yeah, absolutely. What? What's so great about Gurriel?
What's so great about Healy? Have you seen what he's doing against right-handers? He's pretty Casey McGee, dude.
Casey McGee.
Casey McGee, who had 100 RBI season, right-handed corner infielder, and couldn't hit righties at all. And he had 100 RBIs that year.
Yerly Gurriel is more pop than I was expecting.
All right. How much do you like Brad Peacock today? I know Kyle does. Kyle, tell me all you know about Brad Peacock that'll fit in the 30-second window.
He was great in July. I'm believing July, and that's I'm not buying the early struggle in August. Give me what he did in July. I think he's a lock in tonight with some big names on the slate. I think he's the best value.
One start, he struggled. One.
Well, I mean, we're August 10th. It's not like it's a large sample size to struggle here.
That's what I mean. It's one start, and it's the White Sox.
Yeah, some people are overreact because they don't know the name, so when he has one bad start, it's writing him off. I don't write him off. I think he's a top five guy tonight.
Friday night in Miami, Colorado's John Gray on the road against Jose Urena, who has a lot of wins. Who do you got?
John Gray.
But it's a reasonable question at this point.
It is a reasonable question, yeah.
Whoever would have thought that?
I know.
All right, Mike Fultonevich and Adam Wainwright, who you got? Wainwright was just obliterated.
Fultonevich.
I'm
feeling about the same distance between the two as well.
Any interest in Marco Gonzalez, the Seattle lefty who came from the Cardinals in a strange trade?
I think Gonzalez is evaluate for 2018 possibilities more than helping this year, but you never know.
Any interest in Jordan Zimmermann, who has been better of late? He's facing Jose Berríos, who's been worse of late.
I guess we got to believe in this guy based on how he's pitching. I watched that Yankee game he threw where he was pretty darn good.
Are you running away from Berríos, or are you sticking with him?
See, I have so many dynasty leagues, I can't run from him. I think Zimmerman's got to get the nod here over Berríos, don't you?
No.
Really? You're going Berríos over Zimmerman for this game?
I'm not trusting Jordan Zimmerman at all. I don't care who he's facing. Come on.
Trend recently has to matter a little bit here. Granted, the Tigers stink against righties.
Okay. The Twins aren't exactly the Astros. Sean Manaea against Baltimore, I like that. But he's facing Dylan Bundy, who he can be great still.
Could be great, yeah. Could get some K's. I like that the A's have some K's in that lineup. I take Bundy, Mike, but I like both.
Mike Fiers at the Rangers. You on board?
No.
Sunday Night Baseball is on ESPN. It's Red Sox-Yankees. Is contractually obligated whenever those teams play. Chris Sale against Undecided. Now, I haven't followed Undecided's recent trends, but what has Undecided done over the past 3 weeks?
Not nearly as good as Chris Sale.
Oh, you guys should be tracking it because the Undecided is pretty important.
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be CeCe if healthy, and it's going to be Jordan Montgomery if not, in all likelihood.
Doesn't sound like a fair fight to me.
But the report now, the Yankees are talking innings cap for Montgomery.
You don't like that very much.
I get that it happens. I hate counting innings. Hate it.
I hate counting innings. Chris Sale. How many strikeouts for Chris Sale? I'm going to say 11.
Not only that, I hate nicknames on the back of uniforms. But anyway, Chris Sale. Lots of them. All in.
Good answer. Exactly what I was looking for.
I figured.
What are you looking for? Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Well, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this fine show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free! Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's B-E-R-R-Y. Okay, it's K-A-R-A-B-E-L-L. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. One more time to try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. See, I don't think of this as elevator music, do you?
Don't make me sing some Aerosmith here.
What would it be if it's not elevator music?
More like dentist music.
I think it was like a good like lounge. No.
Positive.
Actually, no. You know what? You're right. Both of those are terrible places. Yeah. How about a lounge?
Just lounge in general.
Just a lounge.
Yeah.
I don't
Might be
words.
Good background music for Saturday's National Bowling Day, right?
Real? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a
bowling
bowler.
Alley?
I keep forgetting.
Bring
Who's gonna
that
join me?
Action. I got you.
Wow.
Soppy's a bowler?
Oh, Soppy.
I enjoy me some bowling. I mess around on the lanes. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, sounds like we have even more board bets going here.
I posted a hot 111-98 two-game series last night. Get at me.
All right.
Nice.
Little trophy for Leo over here.
Tristan, you've bowled a close to a 300, right?
I bowled a 279. Wow. Once. It was magic.
If you
were, bowled a 95 in another game.
If you were to bowl in a league right now, what do you think you could average?
Right now, since it's been a while, probably 140, 145.
When's the last time you bowled?
About a year ago.
Who would you
and
take in your...
a league? 10 years.
Who's the number one pick in a fantasy bowling league? I don't even
Parker
know.
Bones
Norm Duke, right? Norm Duke with the ears. He was always a
Norm
good guy.
Norm Duke, right? Of course. I don't know who today's big bowlers are.
Yeah, I have no idea. Pete Weber, right? Glasses? Yeah. See, I got a few guys
he's
here.
He's
oh yeah.
I'm gonna go with Mookie Betts for that multi-position eligibility.
Oh, I like
love
it.
Yes.
He can start your bowling team Betts. And your baseball team.
Mookie, join me Saturday. No? Yeah. You're
are
in
any,
New York.
Are there
Come
any
on.
Questions?
Yeah. Strangely enough, no Twitter questions about who would have. It's Norm Duke on their Player Raider bowling roster here. But Dave wants to know, has a Trevor Cahill orange officially been juiced? 8.2 ERA, 2.5 whip, and only 4.9 strikeouts per nine since joining the Royals.
I think the minute he left San Diego, I was done. If we were ever in at all. It was a lot of strikeouts when he was on the Padres. I'll give him that. And he had pitched probably over his head. The minute he got traded, I was like, no way.
Don't all pitchers pitch over their head? That's like a requirement unless it's softball, right?
Pat Neshek does not pitch over his head.
I was going to say, there's a lot of pitchers
a lot
that
of pitchers
pitch over their head.
Darren O'Day. Come on. Get with the program, Soppy.
Okay, the majority.
Pete Best or whatever bowler you just named, he doesn't bowl overhead. Who's Pete Best? Pete Best with the Beatles, right? Right. This is what happens when, you know, like...
I take us off the rails and gravity takes hold.
Somehow we're talking bowling and Beatles. All right. No,
that's great combo. Yes. Bowling and Beatles. I got to do that.
That's the combo meal we're looking for.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. What's next?
Cahill's schedule is pretty bad coming up, by the way.
It wouldn't even matter.
No, I know, but I mean.
You could face Durham this weekend and we'd be like, nah, I don't really want him anymore.
But matchups guy. I mean, isn't that the only way you're going to squeeze value?
No, there's not even matchups anymore.
He could face Honeywell at Durham. That would be a nice matchup.
Jeez.
All right.
Alrighty. Eric wants to know, is Kipnis a top 80 player the rest of the way, or will he crumble like a cookie? 1-for-13 since returning, and a career-high swing and miss rate.
Not having the best season, is that Jason Kipnis, huh?
No.
23
Thanks.
Home
Thanks
runs.
Thanks for reminding me.
Why, you have him in a team?
No, this is I got the wrong Indians middle infielder, and I knew it the second I did it.
You took Kipnis over Lindor, now come on. Why would you have
Lindor
done that?
Sold for a very steep price in labor. We had this talk, it was over $30, and I knew the second that they said sold that I had made a mistake, and I took Kipnis much cheaper, granted, but I knew it was a mistake.
I've made so many mistakes in that league. I don't know how I can win. Like, I can, but like I think back to what I've done.
How you doing in that so far?
I have no idea. I won't look at the standings.
I know.
I'm not going to look at the standings.
I could tell you.
Am I still in first? Oh, I'm not even in first. That took long.
You might still be in first by a decent chunk.
I'm not looking at Sunday.
It's not as large as the Tout Wars difference between first and second, but it's pretty. It's
so you can win AL labor, right?
I'm third, 5 points back.
So you can obviously win.
Yeah.
And can you win Tout?
I could because I'm in second, but it's first has a huge lead on second. Second has a huge lead on third. I'm like 16 or 17 points back. It's going to be tough.
Seems like a lot.
I need a Darvish.
And can you win the office league that I wasn't invited into? Can you win that league?
I don't know.
Yes. Is Soppy going to win that league?
No.
I haven't even looked.
No, he's going to win that league. He's gained like 15 points on me over the past month.
This is the guy who's in first place.
All right.
The guy who's in first place is not me.
Serious question. Do we consider Jason Kipnis a top 10 second baseman anymore?
He's not a top 80 player. He's not top 10 at second base.
But you next think? Year, will you rank him that way? I mean, 2 years, you know, in 2016, he was really good. 23 homers, 15 steals, 275. Are we just going to forget about that?
No, but does he get in the top 10?
Jason Kipnis is not even a top 10 second baseman next year?
Well, second base isn't all that bad.
I'm not saying it is. It just seems like, wow, that's kind of intriguing for you to say that.
Well, he could. Well, he's not a top 10 second baseman today, right?
Right, but today is not March, and we, you know, generally you're going to look at 3 year numbers. So
yeah,
you know, you're not going to be able to forget 2016 then. I mean, obviously we got Altuve and Murphy, Cano, Dozier, you know, LeMahieu maybe, Kinsler maybe. I mean, Kipnis is in that crew. To me, he's going to make the top 10. But okay.
Well, I see seven who are definitely
going to be Scope will be
ahead.
There.
Scope, Odor could.
Like, I'm not
Carpenter.
Sure I would take Odor over Kipnis
second.
Anymore. Odor's having, he's batting 220. We knew this was going to happen. I love the people on Twitter who said, oh, you hate Odor. Right, because I just hate random players. He is going to, I said his batting average would just crater. It did. I don't think I would take Odor over Kipnis next season.
How about Ian Happ versus Jason Kipnis?
How could you possibly take Ian Happ over Kipnis next year?
I think the case can be made.
How? We don't know if Happ will play regularly, and he's unproven. And Kipnis is proven.
We don't, but based on returns so far this year, Happ's got a pretty bright future as well.
I'm
if they shocked. Find a spot regularly.
You know, like, I just said Jonathan Scope is a top 10. Jonathan Scope is... Oh, that's... I keep doing that. He's a top 10 guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez will be eligible. Obviously, D. Gordon because of the steals. I don't know. I think Kipnis will be close. Okay.
Kipnis could be 10th.
Yeah. All right.
All right, loyal listener, me and Sarah Jane on Twitter.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Got to.
Genesis album.
Ryu, is he a matchup play or something more moving forward?
Well, I think he's more than a matchup play. I mean, I pretty much use him unless he's at Coors. But if you think you're getting another 8 starts out of him, you're crazy. I mean, they have the depth to – he's probably in the bullpen in the playoffs – I don't see him finishing out in the rotation every outing. Do you?
I don't. They manipulate that DL, and I fully expect that. But I think he is you've got to use him for every one of the starts he's assigned. Does he even have a Coors game left? I don't know if they go there. Let's see.
I haven't looked at the schedule. But like when Kershaw and McCarthy come back, I mean, somebody's going to sit.
Final weekend. Oh. This schedule is a dream otherwise.
All
let's
right.
see. Padres, White Sox, at Tigers.
That's
not
pretty
good.
Good.
At Pitt, versus Brewers at home, preferable place. At Arizona, not great. But they got some Phillies, they got Giants, a lot of them, and a lot of San Diego in September.
My only wish for the Phillies is that they don't finish with the worst record in baseball. And I think they're actually going to avoid it. I think the White Sox and maybe the Giants will pass them. That's what you hope for at this point.
You don't want the first pick in the draft.
I don't want the first pick. There's no dominant guy. This is not like basketball or football. I think there's an embarrassment level to being the worst team, and I don't want it. But, you know, plus they keep taking, 18-year-old outfielders anyway who have no shot to be in the majors. So, you know, what's the difference what they do? Would I like Hunter Green on my team? Of course. But
everyone needs another outfielder. Come on.
Man, they're gonna regret taking Mickey Moniak over Nick Senzel, but they didn't listen to me. What else we got?
All right, we've got two more. Dan wants you to rank these DL pitchers for the rest of the season. We've got 4 of them. David Price, Lance McCullers, Johnny Cueto, and Chase Anderson. Can you order them 1 to 4 the rest of the way?
Wow, one of those things doesn't seem to belong, but actually Chase Anderson is probably having the best year right now of any of them. Because McCullers ruined his numbers recently. I think Chase Anderson's back in a week. I was offered a trade for him in one of my leagues. It was a good offer, but I really need the starting pitcher. Oh, it was my score sheet league where I'm so desperate for starting pitching and you can't get it. There's no free agency. There's like a draft once every month or two. And I've been using Bartolo Colon. Like, I need a starting pitcher. I'm still in first place in my division. I turned down Chase Anderson for Edwin. Because I really need the pitcher more. Anyway, I think I might take Chase Anderson first of this crew. And here's why. I don't think Price is healthy, and I think if he comes back the rest of the season, he will not pitch up to his potential. I think McCullers was clearly hurt, and that's why his numbers were bad. But Houston has such a lead that I don't know why we would see McCullers anytime soon. And even if we do, they could Dodger him and have him skip a start every time out in September. And Cueto, didn't he just have a setback, I read,
yeah, he
somewhere?
Did. So why I can't would they see push how he's going to pitch again at all this year.
I think he might be done. He might get the Tulo treatment. So I think Chase Anderson, who has no right being number one of this crew, but actually is number one right now, right?
You could really throw these names and have them fall in any order you like, but let's point out that Price McCullers are only at the point of just resuming throwing programs. That's not a good step in terms of rehab for proximity return. Anderson is likely two rehab starts away, meaning we're looking at about August 21st. So he could give you, there'll be 6 weeks full.
I think Anderson comes back the soonest, and he does not have a arm injury. It's oblique. Those heal.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's back soon. I think the numbers he put up this season look all legit to me. We all looked at Chase Anderson and Jimmy Nelson in May and said, give me a break. These guys stink. These guys don't stink. Now, the Brewers are going to end up finishing fourth probably, but Chase Anderson, that looks legit.
Davies, Jimmy Nelson, they've put up
Davies
some
has been terrific. I mean, Davies is a good outing today, I think.
Anderson, I feel like the skills don't match the other three. If we trusted that they were all 100% today getting right back on the mound, I think he'd be fourth of these.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. There's got to be something said to likelihood of helping you. I'm still going to put McCullers first. I'll go Anderson second.
By the way, let's be fair here. Chase Anderson was throwing his fastball 91 last year. Now it's 93. So he did change.
James Paxton-ish?
Found velocity somewhere.
I got to take a look at that. Right. Interesting.
I've studied Chase Anderson. You don't know Chase Anderson like I do, Tristan.
So what changed the velocity then?
Mechanical. I mean, it's also possibly something that all Milwaukee pitchers are taking advantage of now because they're all doing something we didn't think they could do. I mean, Zach Davies had a terrible first half, but his numbers weren't supported last year. They were junior garish. Now,
the Milwaukee innovation of robot arms.
Milwaukee figured something out with their pitchers. All right. Any more questions?
Last one is for Patrick. Note it's the Andrelton Simmons, the breakout continues, slugging .530 in the second half. Where do you have him ranked for next season?
You know what? That's an excellent question. Andrelton Simmons or Jason Kipnis next year? Aren't you taking Simmons?
I think I am,
one
yes.
year versus a career. It's
You I know think... what we have to commend Simmons for is that he has an exceptional ability to make contact.
Always,
This is the Jose Ramirez type. And I got criticized for Jose Ramirez. Players who can do this warrant more credit than they get nowadays.
Well, Andrelton Simmons right now is the number three shortstop in the player radar. He won't be drafted that way. Trey Turner and Correa and Seager will all be top guys. Bogarts probably won't be close to what he was last year. Machado will be up there, of course. Top 10 for Simmons? I mean, you got to take Andrus over him. You got to take...
Do you? You don't like Andrus.
No, but, I mean, what he's doing is pretty legit. It's more homers, more steals.
Mm-hmm.
Seems more believable to me.
What would you project each in terms of homers and steals? I think
I don't think either get to 20.
Close.
I wouldn't project next year either to get 20. I just think that Andrus' power, I don't know where it's been the rest of his career, but he kind of looks legit to me.
Actually, Bogarts, Andrus, and Simmons could be somewhat similar styled players going in that order of
man, is
talent
anyone
with the bat.
Is anyone at shortstop more overrated than Bogarts? Now, look, great real-life player, but he's not even hitting 300. Six home runs. That's Chase Headley. How can you have six home runs and be a top 10 shortstop? You can't. Unless you're D. Gordon and running wild, and he's not. He's 11. Xander Bogarts is probably the most overrated shortstop.
Currently, but I do think he's going to...
Gregorius is higher than the player rater.
Bogarts is capable of 315 and 15, though.
He is.
In the future, not today.
So Simmons over Bogarts, can you make that case? I can't.
I could, based on the down year. Bogarts has that extreme ground ball rate, but I don't want to do it. I wouldn't rank that way.
Simmons versus Segura, I would take Segura. Simmons versus Gregorius, I think there you could probably go Simmons because of the steals.
Mm-hmm. I like Gregorius, though.
The music stopped. Yeah. You know what that means. We're all done. But the fantasy football season is here to save the day. On behalf of ESPN, we're all here to make sure you know the difference between bad fantasy and good fantasy. And bad fantasy, of course, is drafting a kicker or a defense too soon. Don't do that. Good fantasy is going into the season with the best tools and analysis you need to draft the best team. Bad fantasy is leaving your best player in the starting lineup when he has a bye week. Don't do that. But good fantasy is having alerts from the fantasy app. And Matthew Berry is your personal consultant.
Taylor.
Play the number one fantasy football game on the number one fantasy app because good fantasy is better than bad fantasy. ESPN Fantasy Football. Sign up now at ESPN.com/goodfantasy. And we should mention that next week is a pretty big week for ESPN and all of our fantasy football people, because I've heard there is a marathon on Monday and Tuesday, which will last for, what is it, Kyle, 28 hours?
28 hours, Monday night, 7 p.m. to Tuesday night at 11 p.m.
Wow, that is a long time. That is a long time. And Kyle, of course, is a key member of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, which is a daily show and a must-listen to. And maybe, Kyle, you could shed some light, because I'm sure this has been mentioned on that show. What is happening with Matthew's new television show? When does that debut? Who's going to be on it? Give us some times and dates and all that other fun stuff.
August 16th is the TV debut. They're putting out some digital clips between now and then, but it'll be right after the marathon. It will be when it starts on TV. It's on ESPN that day. After that, it'll be ESPN2 every day. I believe they're aiming for 5 p.m. So it'll be going up against Happy Hour on ESPN. So, you know, no competition there. But it's a lot of fun. They work with some puppets. We've got robots. Daniel Dott plays a big role in it. They'll cover everything, though. They got you covered 5 days a week. Their goal is to make you a smarter fantasy owner, but a dumber person is kind of the tag for the show, and I'm buying it. So
yeah, you had me at robots.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a fun show. They're having a good time, and it'll be out on TV next week.
Who did you call a puppet? I just want to make sure we're clear on who you called the puppet.
I didn't call it. They have literal puppets.
Oh, they have literal puppets.
Oh yeah, I'm not calling anybody a puppet. Don't put me in that box, Eric.
Cookie.
Well, you know what? I hope you enjoy our show as well. We're done for the week. I think we'll be back on Monday. So have a good weekend. Enjoy your baseball. Enjoy your football as well. There are games being played for Kyle, Mike, Leo, Tristan, and all the fantasy football people. I am Eric. Have an awesome weekend.
Everything is awesome. Weekend.